Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, John Barry, Nicholas Skitishvili, Joey Devine, Francisco Elson, Earl Boykins, Sean Keane, The Sean Leonard, Patreons, Sean O'Shea, thank you Sean, Moondog Riz, thank you Moondog, Jeff Pitsley, thank you Jeff, musical guest Montrose, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and you are listening to a new episode of the Round Ball Rock podcast. I'm here, as always, with my permanent co-host, good friend, all-around swell guy, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I'm preparing to go to the Pacific Northwest this week. And not to give too much of a spoiler for the rest of the episode, but we are PNW heavy this week.
We sure are. But before we get into this week's episode, just some business at the top. Follow us on Twitter at Round Rock Pod, just like Scout with Brian himself at Brian O'Ringer. Email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com. Call us on the phone at the number that you'll hear on the show later, or donate to our Patreon at patreon.com/roundrockpod. Where we've got a wild Patreon episode this week. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, honestly, if you follow us on Twitter, you should be subscribed to the Patreon, right?
yeah, for sure. Speaking of phone calls, though, Sean, we did get a phone call this week. Should we listen to it?
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Let's go to the phones.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342, please give me a call. Being a robot is a solitary road.
Hey, Sean, Joey, it's Damon Agnos here. Calling to wish a happy 39th birthday to Vladimir Radmanovich, who I assume is listening. Vladimir, it's hard to believe you're pushing middle age, but here we are, November 19th. I remember when you were just a rookie with the Sonics. You're born in the USSR. This big, athletic, kind of goofy dude who did a backflip on a breakaway dunk like your first month or two in the league and landed on your head. That was, I don't know if it was a sign of things to come, but it showed you did things your own way. I was glad you're all right. Now, you never really lived up to your promise as a player, but you did a lot of great things. I'm just going to go through a few of them here. You got kicked off the Yugoslav national team at the 2002 FIBA tournament for peeling and eating a banana while your coach was yelling at you in the locker room at halftime. And you spent the second half in the crowd signing autographs and posing for pictures. And the coach later made an alternate wear your jersey for the gold medal ceremony. Then when Brent Berry took you, Vitaly Potapenko, and Peja Drobniak to a Bruce Springsteen concert to teach you about America, you basically said, fuck this, and called your agent 30 minutes into it, said, this sucks, we're out of here, and bounced. Later on, a couple years later, Sox were in the playoffs. And Nate McMillan, being kind of an old-school, hard-ass coach, said no more headbands, doesn't like the whole players are into the style, into the retro thing, and you always wore a headband, so instead you went and got braids. And that was a great moment in NBA fashion history. You also had all your headbutting with Phil Jackson, the snowboarding accident, lying about it, Phil calling you a space cadet. And you know, everyone acted like that was some great imposition on Phil to have to put up with you, but Phil is kind of a petty dick, and I think he enjoyed it. He needed the challenge. He needed a worthy adversary. And you made Phil Jackson better. You made all of us better. So thank you for that, Vladimir Radmanovich. One of the greatest honors of my life was when I was in the produce section of a QFC in the early aughts, and an elderly checker saw me and I guess a tall, mop-headed Southern European looking dude and asked me if I was you. That was really flying close to the sun for me. So thank you for that. Thank you for all that you did for the game. Thank you for all that you did for all of us, the fans of the game. And happy 39th birthday, Vladimir Radmanovich.
Thank you, Damon Agnos, for the call. And most importantly, thank you, Vladimir Radmanovich, for living one more year.
Mm-hmm. I had forgotten some of those amazing contributions that he made. I think my favorite part was about the team picture.
My favorite,
the gold medal ceremony.
I like the banana. The banana one's my favorite.
Yeah.
Anyway, happy birthday, Vladimir Radmanovich. And thank you, Damon Agnos, for giving me an amazing idea. If you, listeners, want to celebrate your favorite random NBA player's birthday, mm-hmm. give us a call and tell us about it, and we will celebrate their birthday with you.
Yeah, it was a beautiful tribute, and I think there are some people that have changed lives the way that Vlad Rad changed Damon's.
Mm-hmm.
Damon, the unofficial legal counsel of Round Ball Rock.
It's true. If you have a problem with us, take it up with Damon Agnos Esquire.
Yeah. Also, follow at Mouse House Books.
Yeah.
A great publishing company.
Yeah. It's the only publishing company I know that's run by a dog.
I'm currently reading the original crime novel, Soup Boys.
Awesome. All right. We got some more reader mail, too. Do you want to do that?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it reader mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right. At Suckapunk asks, who do you guys think is the least respected veteran / elder statesman in the league? Everyone says respect the Jazz, but do the Jazz respect Jeff Green? Does JaVale's championship exempt him from this? Does RJ Barrett listen when Wayne Ellington talks?
Mm.
So, Sean, who is the least respected veteran in the league, you think?
Huh. Let's see. I mean, obviously Carmelo Anthony is very respected. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look. I need to find a list of who's been in the league the longest right now. Hold on.
Well, the longest is Vince Carter.
Yeah, that's...
He's respected, I think. Although...
No, he's definitely respected.
No, but except Deontay Davis did not visit the room Vince Carter built in his house for him.
And I'll say this right now. I honestly think that that's on Deontay Davis.
It is. It for sure is.
Isn't Vince Carter in the league longer than Deontay Davis?
Yes.
Let's see. Who's been in the league a long time right now? My gut feeling is somebody like Corey Brewer, but I don't think he's still in the league. Mm-hmm. Let's see. All right, let's look at the oldest active players. I'm going to throw out some people that might not be that respected on this list. Kyle Korver. Fourth oldest player in the league right now.
I think he's respected. I think they like Kyle Korver.
Now that he's not a racist anymore. let's see. These guys are pretty respected. Okay, I'm going to say the oldest guy, nine teams, the oldest slash least respected, I'm going to say is Anthony Tolliver. He's 34 years old. He's played on nine teams. Because everybody else on this list, the only other people that are like long tenured that I feel like might not be that respected are Courtney Lee and Dwight Howard.
I mean, Dwight is not respected, Sean.
Right. But he's also not even 34 yet. Mm-hmm. So he's like, he's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I mean, it might be Dwight. Like somebody who has that many accolades and the least amount of respect. Like with Anthony Tolliver, it's more of just like a testament that it's like, yeah, man, he was undrafted and he bounced around a little bit and he's still in the damn league, you know? Whereas with Dwight, it's almost like how have you been on seven teams, you know?
I think, oh man, this guy might not be in the league anymore, but I was going to say, I think it's Devin Harris.
Oh God. Well, just like, I feel like the amount of abuse he took from
Rick Carlisle.
Yeah. And also there's a guy who was on The Bachelorette who's also named Devin Harris. Mm-hmm. So that didn't help. I remember there being a story about him in college and the hook was like, all his friends are female. And there was some incident in the story where they're just hanging out in Madison and he gives like a funny name to somebody at like a, I don't know if it was like a coffee shop or something. Mm-hmm. And then he doesn't react when they call the funny name. Mm-hmm. And then his friends like boo him.
All right. Unfortunately, Devin Harris is no longer on the Dallas Mavericks. God, I thought he was. I mean, but
did they trade him like three different times too?
Yeah. That's why I thought it would be him. You know what? I don't think Jared Dudley is super respected, especially on that team.
I think JaVale is actually pretty respected.
I do too. I think guys like JaVale.
Wayne Ellington, I kind of have no idea, but I think people like, I think it's hard to not be respected if you've like really clawed your way into the league. Mm-hmm. And so it's got to be somebody like, you know, Devin Harris was like the fifth pick in the draft.
Right.
And I mean, he was an all-star, but just there's something about his demeanor too that I also think that Jeff Green, it's not that he's disrespected. It's that people are always like rooting for him a little too hard on his team. Mm-hmm. Like people are always like, oh man, if you saw the way he practiced, you wouldn't believe that he'd never make a difference in a single game, you know? Like, he seems like a guy that the team's constantly pumping up in a way that, like, he's the leadership's there. But I don't think Dante Exum respects Jeff Green specifically, if we're going to be talking about
Do you think the Sacramento Kings respect Corey Joseph?
I don't think they respect any of those veterans, to be honest.
Like, I think Dwayne Dedman probably gets respect.
No, I don't think he have you seen how what's been happening this year? He's been Rashawn Holmes has blown past him on the depth chart. Trevor Ariza, I've said this before on the podcast, appears to have retired at midseason last year. Corey Joseph, probably it's okay, and like he doesn't shoot, so they're probably like, that's kind of like weird.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's hard to be like a completely disrespected point guard unless you're Reggie Jackson.
Do you know who the oldest player on the Indiana Pacers is?
Oh, God, are they really young now?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me think. I'm not going to look at the roster. Is it Justin Holiday?
It is Justin Holiday. Do you think the Indiana Pacers respect Justin Holiday?
Yes, I do, actually.
All right. Their second oldest player is Jeremy Lamb. Do the Indiana Pacers respect Jeremy Lamb?
Not so much. Yeah. Not so much, Joey. Justin Holiday, I think they're like, this guy came out of nowhere. Like they're probably like, good job, this guy staying in the league. Mm-hmm. And he has a ring. He has a ring. So,
all right. Sean, do the Charlotte Hornets respect Nicholas Batum?
I don't think they particularly do, no. God, he's not even that old, but he feels so much older. He's French.
He and Justin Holiday are the same age. They're both 30.
God, doesn't it feel like Nick Batum is 35?
Yes. Yes.
That's not a good sign. And that, like, two franchises went to war over him not that long ago.
The Hornets' second oldest player is Cody Zeller. Do the Hornets respect Cody Zeller?
I think they do.
I do, too.
Just because they're really good when he plays, and so they're probably like, this works. And I think, like, the fact that he's like, embraced his baldness and his mm-hmm. look like that, I think people like... I don't know, man. I mean, that's a tough name, but yeah, I think they do. I think they respect him.
All right, the oldest player on the Orlando Magic is DJ Augustin, and they definitely respect him.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, that guy's. I've gained so much more respect for DJ Augustin in the last couple of years too.
All right, Oh, I think I know who it is, actually.
Okay.
Do the Minnesota... I think this is the least respected veteran in the league. And it's not particularly close. Okay. Do the Minnesota Timberwolves respect Jeff Teague?
Oh my God. He's the... Oh. No. Oh. God, that's up there with Jeff Green for me. And even Jeff Green, it's like, there's reasons. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. he had to get a new heart partway through his career. Jeff Teague has no real excuse. And has, like, a super disappointing brother. Whereas with Justin Holiday on the Pacers, it's like, he's playing with his brother. We like that.
Okay, I think I found the second most disrespected guy, too.
Okay, great.
Do the Chicago Bulls respect Cristiano Felicio?
He's the oldest guy in the Bulls?
No, he's the second oldest guy. Thaddeus Young they definitely respect.
Yeah.
But do they respect Cristiano Felicio?
I mean, I feel like respect is completely secondary to Cristiano Felicio. I feel like a lot of the Bulls are just confused by his presence on the team.
They certainly mostly respect his ability to get paid for a million years. But like,
yeah, he's making like $8 million a year as a 15th man. He's the second oldest guy on that team.
All right, Sean. Do the Washington Wizards respect Jan Mahinmi?
Oh, no, they don't. he's like wearing the virtual reality goggles, trying to get himself to shoot free throws. I'm sure a lot of the Wizards are like, hey, motherfucker, shoot some free throws.
They do, though, I think, respect their other two older players.
Isaiah Thomas?
Well, I wasn't going to say Isaiah Thomas, because he's actually not as old as you think. He's only 30. But I think they respect CJ Miles.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. He should have a ring, Joey.
Well, we'll talk about that later. But yeah, I think Jeff Teague is the least respected veteran in the league. Now that Devin Harris isn't there, Harris would have been number one.
It would be Devin Harris for sure.
All right, Sean, our next question comes from @WorkTheCycle, who asks, what would you say to any listeners of Roundball Rock who are loyal listeners, despite having no plans to ever watch an NBA game?
I mean, thank you.
Yeah, I would say you've come to the right place. NBA podcast, because we don't really talk about the games on this show.
No, there's really enough of that, and honestly, the national media is getting worse because of its focus on analytics.
There have actually been times on this podcast where we've talked too much about the games, and I've cut it.
Yeah, exactly. we're just like, what are we talking about? We don't know how to play basketball. Or were we tricking here?
So thank you and welcome at Work the Cycle.
But also, I'm like fascinated by that too. Send us a message or call in, because
definitely
I find it intriguing.
We are going to have a full episode, because we did get a question from a fan who does not follow basketball, asking what team he should follow now that he listens to the show. We'll get to that later this month for sure.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to talk about with that. Yeah, and I think we have the perfect guests in mind for this. Right?
We sure do.
Yeah.
At Crush Chan, one of our one of our longest listeners, asked, as a Knicks fan in their mid-20s, should I give up at some point or just ride this wave of bad basketball forever?
Jump ship, I think. It's like different if you live in New York City. You know what I mean? But if you're a Knicks fan who doesn't live in New York, this is the perfect time to jump ship.
Definitely, for sure.
Like, Kevin Knox is not going to develop.
No.
RJ Barrett might be fine, but like, even still won't really be that fun, I don't think. And also, the Knicks will screw it up and run him out of town in a couple of years. Like, you've got a free pass at leaving. No one will feel bad. Because I don't think James Dolan is going to die anytime soon. Mm-hmm. And he's what's going to make him sell?
I think you stay.
With the Knicks?
Yeah. Well, write it out. It's funny. Like, it's just don't care. It's like a funny thing that happens in your life all the time.
I mean, I guess it just, I just feel like I'm like telling someone in their mid-20s to get like a double PhD.
Yeah, but
where it's like, you might just look back.
But we wrote out the Warriors in our mid-20s. Eventually, he's going to sell. If you're in your mid-20s, you're going to outlive James Dolan.
I mean, in theory, I guess. It doesn't feel like even being a Knicks fan in the good times is that fun.
I mean,
like Knicks Nation is pretty rough.
But I would say, I do think Lin's sanity is like maybe the most fun a fan base has had ever, maybe.
I don't really agree with that. Also, it was only like 3 weeks.
That's what I mean. It was like the most fun 3 weeks ever.
I think We Believe was a lot more fun.
It was
that.
Like they did Molly for 2 straight weeks.
Yeah, like the fans and the players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might happen again. Who knows? All right. Should we talk about the news?
Yeah. Let's talk about the news. It's good news. A couple good news stories, I think.
All right.
This is Roundball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
Sean, Carmelo Anthony is a Blazer.
Look, I don't want to take credit for this, but I feel like we've been talking about Carmelo becoming a Blazer for two-thirds of this time the podcast has existed.
It's one of the weird things where it feels like we... It feels like we keep speaking things into existence, and then it happens. Mm-hmm. Like, no one was talking about Tillman Fertitta till he started an international incident.
Yeah. Well, and then every time we talked about Tillman, he would do something else crazy 2 days later.
No one was talking about Frankie Muniz's Twitter account until we did, and then all of a sudden it was in, like, Teen Vogue or whatever.
A publication that Frankie almost certainly hates.
Melo had his first game, but let's talk about his game later. Let's first talk about his number. Sean, what do you feel about Carmelo Anthony on the Trailblazers wearing the number 00?
I mean, it feels like a very Melo thing to do. I'm curious. I'm going to look this up. Have there been a lot of, like, double zeros in NBA history?
I feel like if they are, they're usually, like, big, fat, big men.
Yeah, it's like...
It feels like a number like John Konkak would wear. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, did Melo have any thoughts about it?
He sure did. He posted a truly insane Instagram post. Because he's not wearing double zero, Sean. He's wearing the symbol for infinity.
Oh, I'm sorry.
These are all bullet points placed over a shadowy picture of Melo wearing a hoodie. And they say, a symbol greater than any assignable quantity or countable number. Symbol, infinity symbol. Without end. Process that never stops. Can never the letter B be given an exact value? Simplicity and balance. The mysticism of our past and the possibility for an eternal future give the infinity symbol a sense of awe and wonder. Infinite nature of God? Seven? We cannot stay away from God without him trying to bring us back to him. The chance to have a new and great beginning with the past left behind where it belongs. Beginnings or end. Alpha and Omega. Stay Melo, and Melo's still a seven. I don't understand why the Melo is still a seven. If his number is infinity.
It's a hashtag. The whole post is about how he's not seven anymore.
Yeah.
And now, is this because Portland fans want to retire Brandon Roy's number?
I don't think so. I think he wanted to wear the infinity symbol.
It's very weird that he threw in the seven, because it evokes the thing that this is like is the respect with a two Derek Jeter hashtag, yeah. Which also didn't really make sense. At least Stay Melo is like, because of how many movies I saw in the mid-90s, I believe that should be pronounced Stay Mevo, right? Mm-hmm. By seven rules.
Yeah, seven rules, yeah. Isn't also Andre 3000 and Erica Badu's kid seven with a seven instead of a V?
I think that's right, yeah. Process that never stops.
The stuff about God is wild.
Well, and then he puts the seven after God. What is that?
Well, God isn't seven the number for God? That's why 666 is that why he was wearing seven before?
God is seven.
Anyway, Sean, tell me what other players wore double zero before.
All right. Well, you were right that it was a lot of big fat guys, Joey, including a legendary big fat Blazer, Kevin Duckworth.
Oh, yeah. All right.
It is currently worn by Aaron Gordon. Mm-hmm. It was worn by Spencer Hawes. Mm-hmm. Brendan Haywood wore it for 1 year. Mm-hmm. Tony Delk wore it for his whole career, except on the Celtics. Mm-hmm. He did not wear it. I don't know that they had another. Probably Robert Parrish also makes the double zero retired.
I guess, like, sure.
Retired zero.
No, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. No, he was double zero. Robert Parrish wore double zero.
He was a single zero. Oh, no, no, no.
He was a double zero.
You're right. You're right. Sorry. He was a double zero.
Ostertag, double zero, yeah.
Eric Montrose, boy. OJ Mayo wore this on the Heat. He also had a lot to say.
No, on the Bucks. Yonte Mayo.
On the Bucks. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. Ennis Kanter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so he's taking Kanter's number. That's all he did for that city. And then Cauley Stein's number.
Whew. On the Kings. Cauley Stein does not wear it on the Warriors.
Jeff. Fresh start. Mike Bibby wore this on the Washington Wizards. That's weird. And then Darrell Arthur and Benoit Benjamin, are the memorable ones.
Noted bad person, Rodion Skouroks, currently wears it on the Nets as well.
Oh, oof. Oof.
Anyway, very weird. I do like the idea of wearing the infinity sign as your number, though. That's a new one.
Who do you think God's favorite double zero is, Joey?
Evan Eschmeyer.
Yeah, definitely. Evan Eschmeyer.
We got a question from Chicago strongman Patrick Cosmos. He asks, what is the funniest potential outcome of Carmelo in Portland? I think it might be winning a championship.
I want him to join a band, maybe a shoegazer band where he's playing bass, and or a thrift store, but like it's all Carmelo Anthony's old clothes.
I think the funniest possible outcome is him trying to get Terry Stotts fired for like 3 weeks, and then they cut him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But I'm rooting for him. I want Melo to be good on the Blazers. He was not good tonight.
He won't be good. But yeah, what was his line tonight, Joey?
10 points on 4 of 10 shooting, 5 turnovers, 5 fouls, 4 rebounds, no assists, 24 minutes, minus 20.
Mm-hmm. And get used to those assist numbers, Portland Trailblazers fans. Melo ain't passing, okay?
Speaking of Portland Trailblazers fans, we know Carmelo Anthony does listen to the show, of course. Yeah. And with him having a new home, we wanted to bring in somebody to give him a recommendation of where to live. So let's call one of our friends, shall we?
Yes.
Now, it's time for Sean and Joey to call one of their friends. You see, Sean and Joey basically only know about two things, Anthony Randolph and the Snyder Cut. Release it already. They definitely don't know anything about today's topic, Portland, Oregon. Luckily, they know someone who does, Corbin A. Smith. Not the one who writes about the NFL, the one who hosts the Take It or Break It podcast.
To go more in depth with Melo on the Blazers, we brought in a Oregon expert. Even though he lives in Vancouver, Washington.
Yeah, even though I've never lived in Oregon.
He's a tax exile from the state of Oregon.
it is the official home of tax exiles, Vancouver, Washington.
Because you shop in Oregon to avoid the sales tax,
yeah.
But you live in Washington for the lower income tax.
For the lower income and property tax, yeah.
Corbin A. Smith, the host of the Take It or Break It podcast. Corbin.
Can you, like, not bring fruit across the line, by the way, Corbin? Do you get, like, checked all the time driving home from, like, the grocery store? I'm like, fruits and vegetables, sorry.
No, you can bring fruit. Okay. Can you not do that in California?
No, it's California that is pretty specific to that, Sean.
Oh, I guess that's true.
It has to do with something in the 70s, yeah, yeah.
There was like a Mediterranean fruit fly infestation.
Oh, okay. It's a disease thing.
And so many crops. So many of America's crops come from California that was a problem, Corp.
Can I say some shit? Don't let anybody fucking tell you that Washington and Oregon aren't like mostly the same.
I believe that.
Like, I live in Vancouver, so I kind of have like a privileged position. Okay. I always say like Portland is brown and Seattle is gray. And like, there's sort of gradations of that between the two states, but you know, it's a gray expression and a brown expression of a lot of the same ideas.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like the Dandy like Warhols are brown for sure. And Nirvana is gray. Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Bingo, 100%. You cross like the border Sleater, and the, yeah.
Like the squares on the... I guess Sleater-Kinney is technically from Olympia. They have gray and brown streaks, but they're pretty solidly brown now.
Do you see like the squares on a plaid shirt change size when you cross the border just very slightly?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But the reason we brought you on, Corbin, King Mello has come to town.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Double zero, Mello.
The greatest winner in U.S. Olympic basketball history.
Yeah, a guy who saved all of his best basketball for his fucking country. Baby.
And look, we don't want to talk with you about the basketball aspect of it. We want to talk to you about
Carmelo's... Because all I have to say, good move. Congrats to the Blazers.
Let's talk about the social aspect, though.
Finally. Oh.
Corbin.
Joey.
Please make some recommendations for where Carmelo Anthony should go.
The first
Ground Ball Rock listener, Carmelo Anthony.
The first thing we have to say is Kennard. Mello Kennard was built for you. For those who are not familiar, Kennard is a fabulous wine bar on East Burnside. They have wine, but they also have a sort of let's call them small plates, sort of discount small plates. The famous Portland chef Gabriel Rucker, it's his latest project, right next door to Le Pigeon, his famous French restaurant trash food mashup place. It's sort of hard to explain, but anyway,
What is French/trash food mashup? Give me a dish.
Okay, here's an example. For a while at Kennard during breakfast, and I don't think they have it at present, but for a long time, you could get French toast sticks there.
Okay.
And you know, like the sort of French toast sticks you get out of a freezer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, but what Gabe did. Gabe, we're friends.
First name basis. Give my compliments to the chef, Corbin Smith, Gabe. Over here.
Anyway, so Gabe, what he did is he was like, what if we reverse engineered this? You know? And so what he does is that he uses like a French technique and sort of to make like a heightened version of a French toast stick, and you eat it and you're like, that's an incredible French toast stick. That Kennard is also, of course, known for the duck stack. It's pancakes, and then they pour duck gravy on top of it. That's the kind of thing we got going on there. Sort of high culture, low culture mashups.
That sounds like Mello's number one thing. He is high and low culture mashed
exactly.
up.
Exactly. It is.
He's getting bottle service at a strip club.
Bingo. 100%. Their trademark food stuff is called a steam burger. It's like a White Castle burger, but once again, a re-engineered, reimagined from the bottom up. There's some onion soup mix in the patty. There's a lot of consideration for making the perfect crappy White Castle burger. I obviously can't eat them lifelong. I've been a vegetarian for more than a decade at this point, but everybody who eats them, you know, they lose their mind. One time I went with a friend of mine, he was maybe a little stoned, and he took his fries and put them in a burger, and he just went like, oh, this is the best fries and burger experience I've ever had. Carmelo Anthony, Kennard has been waiting for you for your entire career. Welcome to Portland.
All right.
We welcome you with open arms. What else do you got?
I need to ask you this question, and I need to ask you this about all the places. Does Kennard also have strippers?
No, but Sassy's is close.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Sassy's is a let's call it a notable Portland strip club. Now, I personally don't like strippers. I don't like it when other people see me being horny.
Wow, Corbin, sex work is work.
Sorry. I like strippers personally. They're swell people. I believe they deserve determined rights. It's just that I personally, I find it a little alienating when I'm with my bros and me and my bros are like, oh, we're horny. Sex is a little more of an intimate thing for me. You know, this, that, the other.
Have you gotten a lap dance before?
No, of course not. Oh, my God, no. That sounds like a nightmare. That sounds horrible. Oh my God. And like, I would be like, am I supposed to like talk to this person? And I would say some shit like, I took some really good pictures of dogs at the park today. Do you want to see them?
And one bouncer nods to another one. Your picture goes up behind the desk. Like, they're like, put him on a no-fly list, too. That's...
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. They'd be like, this guy is a freak.
All right.
He tried to have a conversation with the lap dance strip. Anyway.
But to be clear, you are recommending Sassy's to our man Carmelo Anthony.
Everybody who I've ever known who's gone to Sassy's has said it's a wonderful experience. There's also, of course, the Acropolis, the famous vegan strip club. It's a little further out. You're going to need to take the yellow. I'm presuming that Carmelo's not going to drive anywhere. I'm sorry. You're going to need to take the orange. It's going to take you to the Selwood area, if I recall. There's also the Dancing Bear, B-A-R-E. Now, I don't know if I've known anybody who's ever gone to the Dancing Bear. But
is that a Grateful Dead thing?
I actually do think it has kind of like a Grateful Dead thing on the sign.
And sometimes a lap dance the stripping routine will last like 14 and a half minutes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And everybody is tired and exhausted. Do stripper routines not last 14? I actually don't know if I know how long a stripper routine lasts.
I accidentally went to an afternoon strip club in Portland once when it was, I really thought it was just a diner. And someone did like a medley where they stripped to Fuck the Pain Away by Peaches, a song by the Moldy Peaches, and then the song Peaches by the Presidents of the United States of America. And I was like, I considered a marriage proposal. I don't even remember what she looked like, but really, still.
I would think that was too meta to get horny about, personally.
No, I was not horny. I would just fell in love.
But it's funny.
That's all. Yeah.
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 That woman is very funny.
Yeah, I would be like, good joke, but I'm here to be horny, ma'am.
It's 2:30 in the afternoon. I'm dining at a table of 12 comedians. Why don't I have an erection right now?
Okay. Let's talk haberdashery.
Okay, well, there's the one downtown. I can't remember what it's called. One sec. Downtown Portland don't worry, it knew exactly.
38 search results.
Pardon me, just rude, very rude. Do you want me to say mean things about San Francisco? Because it doesn't take long.
I mean, we do that a lot on the podcast.
At least people can still live in Portland. John Helmer Haberdasher. It's got a big green sign. Established 1921. Looking at the photo here, we got all kinds of fedoras. There's a red fedora right in my line of sight. Now, I personally don't wear hats. My head is too beautiful for them.
We bought you a hat.
You did?
As a gift. Yes.
What was on it?
I don't know. A minor league baseball logo. You were asking for it. Or not minor league baseball. It was like a Twins hat or something.
It was a Mets hat. You didn't buy me a hat. I left it at your house.
No, we sent you money to buy a hat. Very early in our relationship, Corpse.
Oh, I do not remember that.
He spent all that money at Kennard, baby. You thought you bought him a hat, you bought him re-engineered.
You were
French
tweeting
toasters.
About how you needed money to buy this hat, so I just sent you money for the hat. Yeah.
I'm not a very good friend, Joey.
Anyway.
Can I tell everybody about the time I went to your house?
We've talked about it on the show, I think.
We have?
Yeah.
And Joey made nachos, and he was like, that's a nice thing to do. And I was like, I already ate. Beep boop. I maybe didn't realize how rude that was going to be. Anyway.
Back to the task at hand.
Okay, John Helmer, established 1921, a Portland classic, coming up on its 100th year, selling hats to the good people of Portland and also to unrepentant dirtbags. John Helmer, baby.
What else do you think Mello needs to see while he's there?
We have a good zoo. Got to hit the Rose Garden. All kinds of wonderful chocolate chip cookies. You can see my list on WillametteWeek.com. Search for Willamette Week chocolate chip cookies.
List of chocolate chip cookies on WillametteWeek.com?
It just got published recently. I have a list of the 13 best chocolate chip cookies in Portland. I wrote it. I mean, maybe because I wanted to have a bunch of chocolate chip cookies. I don't know.
Ultimate grift, dude. I respect it.
I might have sent a text to an ex of mine mentioning, that I was at a place we used to go to a lot. And I was like, oh, hey, hope you're doing good. I hope that's not too invasive. And they were like, wait, did you pitch this just so you could eat a bunch of chocolate chip cookies? And I went, yeah.
And then you rated that place 13th.
It was
stick it in her face.
It was pretty high. It was 7th. The number one chocolate chip cookie in the Portland metropolitan area, possibly on the entire West Coast, is at Coquine. Coquine is probably the best restaurant in Portland.
Tell us about it. Tell Mello about it.
Tell Mello about it.
New American restaurant. A lot of kinds of.
That's NU with an umlaut, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Well,
yes.
We know the one thing we do know about Carmelo, other than that he likes strippers, is that he loves America. He plays his best.
Mm-hmm. He does. So it's sort of a mashup of different styles. You know, there's pasta night. It's sort of based around Coquine's chef's name again. So Q-U-I-N-E chef. One second. Katie Millard, who's won the Best of Northwest James Beard Award several times. Brilliant chef. The entire enterprise really is sort of wired into her brain in a very complete way. One time I went there with my parents and got parsnips. They brought some parsnips over, and my dad was eating these parsnips, and he was just like, oh my God, oh, this is unbelievable. That's the kind of thing that happens when you go to Coquine. You get parsnips, and it makes you lose your mind with how good it is. It's an unbelievable restaurant.
Question.
Uh-huh.
Do you really think Carmelo Anthony is a parsnip man?
Well, here's the thing. You don't think you're a parsnip man until Chef Katie makes you into one, Joey Devine.
Okay, fair enough. Continue.
I mean, think about the banana boat. Dwayne Wade didn't think he was a sea bass man.
Yeah.
Right?
LeBron James made him do it, yeah.
Yeah, Kay.
Wasn't she the LeBron James of Pacific Northwest restaurants, Corbin?
Katie Millard is the LeBron James of Pacific Northwest chefs.
Hey, Corbin, while we're here, while we have you here, this isn't Mello related, but I do want to ask you a question.
There's more stuff to say about Coquine, so I just want to put a bookmark there.
Okay. I just want to ask you about another new Portland trailblazer. What's the best place in Portland for Hassan Whiteside to leave his gun?
Camas.
Okay, good to know.
That's a real local reference. If you're from Portland, you heard that and you went, Corbin, what a good one. Coquine's centerpiece is a chocolate chip cookie that is truly masterful. Let me tell you about this chocolate chip cookie. I just wrote about it today in my newsletter. called Bad Photojournalism. Check it out. But anyway, it's a chocolate chip cookie. Excellent chocolate, excellent construction, excellent cookie. But it's also got smoked almonds, salted toffee, and sort of hard chocolate. It's like eating a chocolate chip cookie, but if it was also imbued with the spirit of fire. It's a masterpiece.
I'm sorry?
You get it for, what do you mean?
Imbued with what?
Spirit of fire.
The spirit of fire? Can you
spirit of fire.
Why? What imbues it with the spirit of fire?
It's smoky, baby.
Okay, all right. Gotcha.
And then, like, an eagle eats your liver afterwards for punishment and bringing it to the world.
Yeah. I mean,
that liver's delicious because Katie Millard reimagined human liver and turned you into a cannibal.
If you get the tasting menu, it ends with an eagle eating your liver.
Look, it's probably worth it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
That means you get to repeat that tasting menu every day. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it's a little masterpiece. Carmelo Anthony, and also right on top of Mount Tabor. So you take a nice little hike. Wonderful, wonderful nature hike. Wonderful in-city nature walk. Bottom of Mount Tabor, top of Mount Tabor. There's also a dog park there. I suspect Carmelo Anthony doesn't care that much about dog parks in the way that I do, which is to say to take pictures of dogs there. But it's a good dog park. But anyway, you start at the bottom, you hike to the top. You get yourself a little fire-kissed cookie treat, Carmelo, Anthony.
Okay. Now, another question for you, Corbin.
I can't wait.
The man lived in New York for almost 10 years.
It breaks your heart to hear.
What's the pizza situation like?
Kicks ass, baby! Come on! We got wonderful pizza here. Look, I know that these fucking New York people... they like to act like they live in the goddamn asshole of pizza. But we have wonderful pizza here. Scotty's. We're talking sourdough crust. We're talking various different constructions. We're talking garlic knots that will knock your knots off. Checkerboard pizza in the Pine Street Market. Now, I don't know if I've told you guys about the Pine Street Market, but it is it's sort of like a food court. Fancy. It's like a fancy food court. Mm-hmm. The pizza place there, Ken Forkish, baking legend, one of America's preeminent bakers. He's slinging his pies there. His other restaurant, Trifecta, recently closed. Breaks your heart to hear, but, you know, that's life, baby.
Mello knows. Mello should get together with Ken and talk about trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
Of course. I've actually spoken to Ken on a basketball podcast before. Fun fact. Anyway, it's got a wonderful crust, chewy, delicious. If you're looking to get a whole pie, we Ken also runs Ken's Artisan Pizza. Ken's Artisan Pizza, I will say, makes a wonderful, roasted vegetable dish. And he's also, and there's also a Pizza Shoals. They make, New Haven style pizza, crispy crust, sort of poofy other part of the crust. You know what I mean? How there's the bottom crust and then there's the crust. Anyway, the crust is very poofy. It's delicious. Nathan McKee works there, the wonderful basketball designer. Maybe he edit that out. I maybe didn't need to sell
keep out. Keep going. Stop like it. Keep going. Yes.
And, can I interject for a second, though?
Yeah.
What toppings do you think – which one of these is Carmelo going to like the best? I know we should go there, but like –
Right now you can get Brussels sprouts on a pizza at Scotty's, I suppose. Do you think?
I don't think that's
Mello. You know what? They have all the pizza toppings. What do you put on?
Can
pizza?
You get pizza with like a gold on it? Because that's what Mello wants. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Pizza with gold on it. Fascinating.
Truffles? Can you get truffles on the pizza?
No, you can't get truffles. In Canard, which we mentioned up top, you can get soft serve, and they have two kinds of soft serve.
Do you work for Canard?
No, but you just mentioned truffles, and so at Canard you can get soft serve, right? I think there's a vanilla one, and they also have like a weird one. One time it was like a black raspberry. I stopped in Canard. I got a black raspberry soft serve. I was walking down the street. There was a little lady who walked up to me and she was like, can I have some of your ice cream? I think she was doing it to freak me out, but I went, sure, I guess. And I like sort of like gestured my cone towards her. Have not met this person in my entire life. She took like a big fucking bite out of my ice cream and then walked away. Anyway.
You should have married that woman, Corbin.
Yeah. Or call the police. Like the airsy there.
Yeah.
You may have fallen for a short con, a classic short con.
It appears I might have, which
cone con, actually.
I didn't eat all that ice cream. Anyway. Or they had like cherry chocolate. Anyway, you can get truffles on top of that ice cream.
Okay, that Mello would be into that. All right.
Yeah, they do offer that.
Here's another question I have for you, Corbin. Mello famously
freshly shaved truffles. I want to make that clear.
What?
Freshly shaved truffles. I want to make that clear.
Of course, I thought you were talking about sassies for a second.
Mello very famously went to the bodega in slippers and a bathrobe when he played in New York. And my question for you, Corbin, is where should Mello go while wearing slippers and a bathrobe in Portland, Oregon?
Like the Cozy Closet? Is that what that place is called?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
What's the convenience store that has an alliterative name like that?
I don't even know. I have no idea what you're talking about. Plaid Pantry?
Plaid Pantry. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. I don't know how I got to Cozy Closet.
Cozy Closet? That sounds like a place where you buy pillows, if you don't mind me saying. Wow, apparently everybody got really mad at that.
No, where should he go, Corbin?
Well, he could go to Plaid Pantry, although we don't quite have a bodega culture here. Sassy's, honestly, I really think
in a bathrobe that would be so tight.
Yeah, I think you could get away with it. I suspect that people have done that before. I suspect that people I know have done that before. Where else? Honestly, you could even get away with a canard. Not a cocaine, though. Come on. Show a little fucking respect for Katie Millard.
All right.
By the way, Corbin, my very first night.
You know what a wonderful place to go in a bathrobe is? Pals. Because it's open pretty late.
So you get the bookstore. Yeah.
Yeah. The big giant bookstore. It's open pretty late. They close at like 11. So I think you can get in there at like 10 with a bathrobe and look through the sociology books and nobody would really bother you about it.
Do you think that has like sex creep vibes to it in a bookstore though?
Not if you're Mellow.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah, it doesn't.
I mean, if I did it, it would.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, like,
you can definitely do it.
I'm throwing off all kinds of sex creep. Like, I'm not doing enough, I feel like, to make people who see me in public not look at me and think, sex creep.
All right. Well, we don't need to get into that. Corbin, final thoughts. Any other places you think Carmelo Anthony should go?
Everyone should go to fucking Tusk, baby.
Yeah, I was waiting for it. What the hell?
Look, art is so perfect for Melo that it took up a lot of the Burnside energy. But a little further up Burnside, of course, we got Tusk. We got a big pink sign. We got 5 elite salads night after night. We have hummus that'll knock your dick off. It's the most Portland restaurant. It combines a certain, I feel like somebody might say hipsterish, but I'm a little too old to say things are hipsterish. A certain grammability. What if I said that? Yeah, these are beautiful plates that you can take pictures of, put them on Instagram. People will say, wow, that looks good. And it often is incredibly good. But it also has a sort of farm-to-table ethos, things of that nature. Everyone should go to Tusk. It's great. Where else? Mastrana is always a good time, sort of a classic Italian restaurant. It's over by a school that they converted into a performance space.
I'm sorry?
Oh, well, there's a big high school. It used to be a high school, but they turned it into a performance space.
And that seems very Portland to be like, we do have these children who need an education, but we really have to support the local music scene here. Yeah. That's the most important priority.
I mean, it does occur to me when I go in there. It might have been a middle school. It's hard to say. They have a really big auditorium that they do fun shows in, though. I think I saw Ted Leo there, if I recall.
Mm.
Where else? Where else? Where
do you think someone could rent it out for a prom, theoretically?
Yeah, I actually think they probably could. It would be
like adult prom, though.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. Okay. All right. 80s prom. Yeah. Nobody under 33 allowed.
Unbelievable. Portland, you could go to the race. You know, we don't have a racetrack. It just closed.
They've turned it into a performance space. All right.
Well, the Grateful Dead performed there. The last time they performed in Portland, they performed at Portland Meadows. So, Crystal Ballroom, wonderful, wonderful performance space. I don't know if you guys have ever been there. It's got a little rubber underneath the thing, so you kind of feel like you're dancing on air.
Is there anything Mello should avoid?
Oh, wow. Well, Camus.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, the locals, they are cracking the fuck up at that joke. What should Mello avoid?
Voodoo donuts.
I don't have those kinds of feelings. Cause when I used to go to Voodoo Donuts when I was a teenager, so I have a lot of very warm feelings about Voodoo Donuts.
Okay.
Also, I think they make good donuts. And I think that people who shit on Voodoo Donuts, they're looking for an angle. Another good donut place, in case Mello's listening, right up the street on Burnside there is Delicious Donuts. They just make really fucking good donuts. And when you leave, they say, have a delicious day.
Well, we know Mello likes donuts because he called that one guy a glazed donut ass face that one time.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is what I'll tell you. If Mello actually likes donuts, stay the fuck away from Blue Star. That is bullshit. That is some artisanal. That is Portland bullshit. They don't make donuts. They slightly fry bread, and then they stick it in front of you, and they're like, it's a donut. No, it's not a goddamn donut. It's fucking bread. Look, nobody likes bread more than Corbin, but Corbin doesn't want bread when he's going to eat a donut, and I think Carmelo Anthony would fucking agree with me.
All right, Corbin, thank you so much for doing this.
Salt and straw is good.
What?
Salt and straw is good.
Yeah, we have those in Los Angeles.
Salt and straw everywhere. Yeah.
They have those everywhere now. Yeah. But it is actually good.
Okay.
Not like Blue Star. That shit is bullshit.
They have like a Thanksgiving dinner ice cream at one in San Francisco. It almost made me throw up to see the description.
One time they had a hops ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
It tasted like hops. It was really aggressive.
Okay.
It's a bold, sober man ice cream decision.
Corbin,
I love it.
Finally, your prediction. How long is Carmelo Anthony going to be a Portland Trailblazer?
2 weeks.
All right. Thanks a lot, Corbin.
Thanks, Corbin.
Thanks, fellas.
First off, thank you, Corbin A. Smith.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that was great.
Subscribe to his newsletter.
Yeah, I don't know what Kennard is bribing you, but keep it up, Kennard. But Sean, let's talk about the Raptors.
Okay.
And their championship rings real quick.
Yeah.
The Raptors have decided not to give rings to Jonas Valanciunas, Delon Wright, or CJ Miles.
Yes.
And I'd like to point out that they have decided to give rings to Drake and that fan, Nev.
Oh, that guy with the guy with the turban?
Yeah. But
why,
players
why did
who,
I make it? Why well, I had to make it weird, but I, yeah, but that's
Raptors super fan and used car salesman, I believe.
He's not an arch conservative, is he?
I think he might be.
Ooh.
Yeah, his name is Nav Bhatia. He's getting a ring, but Jonas Valanciunas is not.
Well, his girlfriend's too old. That's what that means. You only get a ring if you have to be a member of the team during the finals or have a girlfriend who's still in high school.
Should we talk about why this is? It seems like people were confused at the fact that this isn't normal.
No, I mean, this is how it goes in sports. Like, and I thought this became very clear in 2016 when former Cavalier Anderson Varejao was playing for the Warriors in the finals. And people were saying he's guaranteed to get a ring because he was.
Mm-hmm.
He got a ring from the Cavs.
Because the idea is that a championship isn't, it's built on everything that happened that year. So if you played for a team that year, even if you got traded, you playing there still got them to the championship. Because
didn't DeLon Wright play more games for the Raptors than Marc Gasol last year?
Probably. I mean, Valanciunas certainly did, right?
Well, he was hurt a little bit. I looked it up, but I'm pretty sure that DeLon Wright played 49 games, which is definitely more games than Patrick McCaw played.
100% more games than Patrick McCaw, I believe.
Oh, and also ring recipient Jeremy Lin.
Yeah,
probably did not contribute as much to the winning effort as DeLon Wright and Valanciunas. Why are they doing this, Joey?
I have no idea, but it honestly kind of upsets me.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. Because if you start doing this to, like, save the $15,000 on the ring or whatever, the next logical step is like, well, OG Anunoby didn't play in the playoffs, so why should he get a ring?
Yeah, he was injured, man.
Like, that's fucked up. Like,
Valanciunas in particular was on the team his entire career, went through this whole process, and they traded him. It's not like he left the team voluntarily.
All of these guys.
Yeah.
That's how
they traded him. The same deal.
Anyway, I hate to do this, but I think I'm anti-Raptor now.
Yeah, sorry, Bucks are gonna win the East.
I love
sorry,
Pascal
guys.
Siakam. I love that team, but and I love the fans even. But this is bad karma, man.
Doesn't it really feel like they're saying like, well, we'll never get back here again, so let's save this ring money.
Yeah, it certainly does. So let's give one to Drake. All right, and then finally, there's one last thing I want to talk about, Sean.
Yeah.
Again, we're being real Pacific Northwest heavy today, but hey, Blazers fans, it's come to my attention that some of you are calling Anfernee Simons Penny. Please stop that.
Just don't do that anymore.
It's not. Penny is not a nickname for Anfernee.
No, it was a nickname for that one guy.
Yeah, it's because his grandma had a heavy southern drawl and used to call him Pretty, but it sounded like Penny. So that's how he got the nickname Penny.
It's not a nickname for Anfernee.
No. And he's great and he's very cool. And I don't want to dislike him because you guys are being dumb.
There's plenty of other, like his last name is Simons. There's a lot you can do with that.
Yeah. Also, this is Anfernee Hardaway, Penny Hardaway, is one of the coolest players ever. I love him. He's really meant a lot to me as a child. Don't do that, please. Don't make me mad at you. It's like if a baseball team started calling a guy Junior Griffey because his first name was Ken.
Yeah, right.
So please, just do not do that. All right, is there anything else you want to talk about, Sean? You want to talk about these Mavs? These Mavs?
Yeah, let's just talk about these uniforms real fast.
There is actually one. Before we get to the Dallas Mavericks terrible uniforms, I do want to bring up Luka Doncic's amazing halftime interview the other night where he said, I had a dream last night. I scored 16 points in the first quarter. I scored 17. I guess dreams don't come true. And once again, I'd just like to mention it sucks Luka Doncic is on the Dallas Mavericks because he fucking rules.
Yeah.
And Pants DJ does not. All right.
He literally drools because he watches pornography in the office.
Let's talk about these spray-on bought at the mall ass t-shirts the Mavs are wearing as their uniforms.
Yeah, like a white person's idea of like an urban look from 1991, but also one aimed at 9-year-olds.
Yeah. It reminds me of like a shirt you'd buy, like one of those Bart Simpson knockoff shirts.
Yeah. Like if you went to like a bar mitzvah that was taking place like the same year as the OJ trial, and they had like an airbrushing artist.
Yeah.
Except it's worse because of the gradient of the uniform.
Yeah, it's really bad. Yeah. Listener Kopernik called them the uniforms for the Monstars G League team.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're going to top that.
Yeah, that's why it's worth getting at least the $3 level on Patreon. You get that kind of stuff in the popping off Discord.
All right, is that our show, Sean?
I think that's the show.
All right. Sean, anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, I'm going to plug my New Year's shows in San Francisco, December 29th, 30th, and 31st. Yeah, that's good. Also, if there's like, you know, some good places to eat in Seattle, send me a link.
Yeah, let Sean know.
At Sean Keane.
As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz. We're on November 14th. I tweeted, "Hot damn, I'm hungry." Sean, yeah. Did you write a song?
I did. Mm. This is a song we teamed up with deceased country singer Roger Miller for a song about Kawhi Leonard. It's called King of the Load.
Great. Well, that's playing under us right now, unless, of course, the singing starts immediately, which in that case, it'll start in 10 seconds. Trust the process.
Trust the process. And
shut it down. Everyone go to Canard.
Clippers on TNT. Will Kawhi play? We shall see. Doc says that he's healthy. He don't have a medical degree. About 2 hours before the game, the boardman's gonna pull up lame. He's an MVP, who's DNP? King of the Load. New Orleans back to back. Zion's knee has got a crack. The board man don't give a fuck. Might as well be starting Chuck. That's the Condor, he's Billy's dude. Unlike the Coyote, he's not dude. Kawhi's an MVP, who's DNP? King of the Load. He knows every specialist who works on the quad. Skips TV games to work on his bod. And every sore ankle and every hamstring. Kawhi sits, it's tough shit. He just wants a ring you take. More days off when you're rich. Learned it from Greg Popovich. 60 games is pushing it. Kawhi's got load management. Doc will make up some fake disease to put the reporters at ease. He's an MVP, who's DNP? King of the Load. Clippers on TNT. Will Kawhi play? We will see. Doc says that he's healthy. He don't have a medical degree. About 2 hours before the game, the board man's gonna pull up lame. He's an MVP, who's DNP? King of the Load.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.